This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show podcast.
President Trump just nominated 9 more district court nominees and 1 Ninth Circuit nominee. As the conservative take back of our courts continues, full steam ahead. Welcome back. Glad you're here. Happy primary day, everybody. The Zioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Zioli, Facebook.com/Zioli Show. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Tornado warnings and thunderstorm warnings, so just be advised. We'll have the latest for you at 5:15. All right, so the idea of the courts, yesterday, as you know, I talked about this, Supreme Court had 2 big cases. One of them was legalized sports betting. Now, this is a great win for the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, the idea of federalism, where the Supreme Court has affirmed that the states can make laws that they want, that there is no conflict with the federal Constitution in this matter, and the feds can't pass a law barring a state from passing a law that they want to pass. It's a great win for states' rights. It really is. But now we're doing stupid stuff in New Jersey already around this, which I'll explain in a second. But the Supreme Court matters, as I always say to you, though, about 64,000 cases a year are decided at the lower court level, not at the Supreme Court level. And until Congress decides to end all that by getting rid of some of these districts and getting rid of some of these federal judiciaries, federal courts, this is the system we have. So you might as well try to fill it with as many originalist judges as you possibly can at every level. And so far, the Trump administration has been stellar in this regard. It is, as I've mentioned before, the reason why many people voted for President Trump. And for them, they continue to be vindicated in their decision. Because there's nothing better than knowing that you're going to continue to have these judicial nominees coming. So 9 more district court nominees, 1 Ninth Circuit nominee. Now, the Ninth Circuit's nuts, and you got a long way to go until you're going to change the Ninth Circuit. But what I can tell you is this is a very good start. So yesterday, the Supreme Court of the United States said states are allowed to have laws that legalize sports betting, which is good because there's nothing about gambling in the federal Constitution. I don't care whether or not you're pro-gambling or not pro-gambling. It's not the point, right? I don't gamble. I don't have a problem with it, but it's not my thing. What I do have a problem with, though, is when the federal government tells the states what to do and there's no constitutional amendment that you can point to that justifies them telling the states what to do. There's nothing in the Constitution about gambling. Now, immigration is a different issue. As I mentioned to you yesterday, the issue of sanctuary states and sanctuary cities is different because of the fact that the federal government has the power over immigration. But even that's not clear. Well, the one thing I do know with certainty is that the words sports betting are not in the United States Constitution. Meaning that this is a states' rights issue. This is the 10th Amendment issue. The 10th Amendment says, if it's not in there, meaning the federal Constitution, it's ours. We get to decide, the states and the people respectively. Literally, that's why they said that. The states came together in Philadelphia, had a constitutional convention. The states created the federal government. I can't say that enough, and I wish everybody would say that. I think we're at a place in this country, sadly, not you, not me, not us, because we listen to the show together, but, or, you know, we listen to the show on podcast, or we listen to other shows that give you educated analysis of our Constitution and our republic. But I believe a lot of people think the federal government created the states. I do. I think a lot of people believe that. I think a lot of people believe that federalism means a strong federal government and a bunch of states. And the states will have to do whatever the federal government tells them to do. I think that's what a lot of people believe. It's not at all that way. The states created the federal government, and federalism is a term about sharing power between the states and the federal government. That's all that federalism is. It doesn't mean a strong federal government. Stronger, certainly, than the anti-federalists would have liked at the Constitutional Convention. They should have won that fight. Had they won that fight, I think we'd be in a better shape than we are now. But nevertheless, it doesn't change anything. The states created the federal government. The states made it very, very clear in the 10th Amendment. Hey, we'll put all these powers, not a lot, I shouldn't say, but whatever powers we do designate for you, feds, we'll list them. And anything that's not in this document, They're ours. We get to do it. Reserved for the people in the states. And also, there's unenumerated rights as well. So there's other rights that we have that aren't in here. Just because they're not in here doesn't mean we don't have those rights. But that's the Ninth Amendment. Now, the state of New Jersey is stupid. As usual, they're already making this dumber than it needs to be. The state fought hard for this, and they won. And Chris Christie deserves a lot of credit for this. Chris Christie fought very hard for this in court. His people did. You had a number of Democrats and Republicans in New Jersey coming together on this point and saying that they wanted legalized sports betting. You had Democrats like Ray Lesniak coming together with other Republicans. Well, now that the Democrats are in charge of New Jersey again, they want to make sure that they're going to have maximum revenue and they're going to have maximum regulation. No doubt. No doubt. So what are some of the stupid rules that they want to have in place? Well, for example, no betting on New Jersey colleges. I never understand this. This I don't understand. Why can't you bet on a Rutgers game? Honestly, what's the big deal? What is it? Why not? It's my question. They've already decided today, no in-state sports books on Rutgers football, Rutgers, Seton Hall, or Monmouth basketball, or any other Garden State College program. That's stupid. Former Governor Richard Cody said, you don't want that influence over the kids. Oh, stop it. The children. You don't want that influence over the kids. Oh, right. Yeah, no, that's true. Because the kids aren't influenced by the potential of making millions of dollars if they go pro. Right. So there's that. I mean, what influence over the kids if somebody places a bet on their game? Oh, it might cause them stress. You don't think these kids know what the line is, what the spread is on their game? Do you think they're that stupid? Like they can't figure out what the Vegas odds are on their game? You honestly, you think Seton Hall in the NCAA tournament, they don't know what the odds makers are giving them on getting to become a, you know, in the Final Four? Stop. I know, but for the kids, we don't want that influence over them. Hey, genius, they're betting already in other places. Oh, we can't bet in here on those schools. What? Well, they're betting other places. Anyway, that's dumb. What's unclear is whether New Jersey sports books could take wagers on an NCAA tournament taking place in the Garden State. They should, by the way, allow that to happen, because you know how much money the state would pour in rain if they had the NCAA tournament in New Jersey? Could you imagine that? And then if they had the NCAA tournament, some games, or even the Final Four or the championship game, and then you were allowed to bet on those games in the state of New Jersey while the basketball is going on. Look, you can be against sports betting. You could be against gambling. I get it, but this is another stupid prohibition that doesn't make any sense. Well, so what's the thinking on this? You're going to have, I guess, kids in the locker room, athletes who are adults, by the way, when they're playing in college. I'm so tired. I do that sometimes. I fall into that trap. I say, kids, these aren't kids. These are adults. They play in college. They're college sports or college athletes. They're choosing to be there. They're choosing to play on these teams. They're lucky to be playing on these teams. Believe me. And so what? They're going to sit in the locker room and they're going to find out that the book in Atlantic City is betting against them, so therefore they're going to be crushed when they go out there? They can't handle that? That makes no sense. And then if they can't handle that, why are the Eagles or the Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, every other professional team, why are those athletes able to handle it? Because they're older? The average age of people who play professional sports is in their early 20s. So let me understand now the thinking on this. When you're 18... and you're playing for Rutgers, it's going to be crushing to you to find out that everybody's betting against you. But if you make it pro and you're playing for the Eagles, you'll be okay with that. That won't hurt your self-esteem. The logic of this is mind-boggling. Anyway, the good news, though, is that they're going to rake in a lot of money. The bad news is what they're going to do is they're going to go over. They're going to go over the top, as they always do. And then you'll still have bookies taking action because of the tax issue. Because they always do this. They go overboard. You know, instead of having a reason, I don't think any tax is reasonable, but instead of having reasonable taxes from that perspective, they'll go crazy like you do with cigarettes. You know, they'll start with a cigarette tax, and then by the time you go to buy a pack of cigarettes, it's $42 and you just buy it in the black market. It's just cheaper. That's the same thing with gambling. 4 years in this country, there has existed a black market for gambling. I've never taken part in it because I'm not a gambler, but I know people who have, and they bet on games because there's always a market for something and prohibitions don't work. Banning something doesn't work. You know what else doesn't work? high taxes on something doesn't work either. So if you can go to a casino and you can bet on a book and then you have to pay a huge VIG to the state. A VIG means a share of your winnings, a piece of the action. I got to wet my beak. In the form of a tax, but your bookie gives you better, you know, you get a better deal with your bookie. What are you going to do? So I'm just pointing that out to you. But the whole prohibition on college games is stupid. High school games, I understand. I get that. All right, you can't bet on a high school game. Fine. Why college? They're adults. Can we start treating college people like adults? Can we start treating college students like adults? Please. They don't have to play in these games. The debate over whether or not these athletes should even be paid, I guess that has nothing to do with it either anymore, right? At one point, people said, hey, these athletes should be getting paid. Well, now we're even saying they're so delicate. They're so delicate, you can't bet on their games. Richard Cody, former senator, former governor of New Jersey, former undertaker, and an insurance salesman as well. Quote, you don't want that influence over the kids. Referring to the specter of point shaving scandals. Wait, what? What? So wait, let me understand this logic now. Athletes in college, they will cheat if the action's good. Pro athletes won't because what? Money's on the line. And so college athletes will risk potentially their professional prospects to cheat because they can bet on it. I have a question. Can those athletes bet on the games now? Oh, they can. Right. So stupid. They just don't bet through New Jersey, but they bet other places. So again, you have these dumb prohibitions, right? And then the athletes who play in these games who are not allowed to bet will just continue betting, not betting. They'll bet, but not bet. You know what I mean? If they want to bet, they're going to bet. But if I want to bet on a game, I can't because it might hurt the kids, their self-esteem. How dumb it, honestly. Yes, NHL rookies are under 20 years old too. And they hit each other. Maybe they shouldn't hit. Maybe you shouldn't allow that. I don't gamble, so I don't know how any of this works. What does the average bookie take, Greg? Do you know?
Take like what's like, their what's percentage?
The VIG? What's the VIG that they take?
10% or something.
10%? Yeah. What is the state of New Jersey going to take? That's my question.
Yeah.
What is the state of Pennsylvania going to take? I bet you'd be more than 10%. New Jersey! 25% VIG, New Jersey. They are going to crack down on bookies. I'm telling you right now. They will. Because you know why? Now it's competition. It wasn't competition before. Now it's competition. Yep. You know, in the past, are you Googling what bookies get?
Well, first I was like,
are you really Googling this?
Yeah.
What bookies take? All right, go ahead. What does it say?
But I am not there yet. I was doing tax percentage.
I hear the clicking.
Sorry, I'll turn it off.
No, it's okay. I hear that. And I go, I know she's Googling this right now. It's okay. I hear this. I go, because Dawn does that. I'll ask a question and she'll try to answer it for me. So
I know.
According to the Google.
Oh, here's a table.
A bookie table?
Yeah, bookie table. These. Oh, well, it depends what the odds, right? Odds, yeah. 50%. Oh, my goodness. Evens. This is complicated. This requires a lot of math.
Well, you know I'm good at that, so bring it on.
Bookmakers build in a profit margin when framing prices for a price. Use a tip, blah, blah, blah. So,
well, the bottom line
is basically 31%.
Who gets that?
It says the bookie takes about, on average, 31%.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, the state's going to take more. They're going to find more, and the bookies will be out of business. They're going to try to put them out of business anyway, but it won't work. You know why? Because as long as you have prohibitions on games, such as college games, but if I want to bet in a college game, and I'm already betting with my bookie, what am I going to keep doing? Anyone? Anyone? Ready? I'm going to keep betting with my bookie. Johnny says, I think the concern is that college players don't get paid and could easily be bribed. No way to buy a pro anymore. They make more money than the mobsters. I guess it's a good point, except you could bribe them now because people can bet on games now. They can bet on games, right? Of course you can. So why can't I bribe a player now? Why couldn't I bribe a player now? I could if I wanted to.
Of course.
They can't even buy insurance to insure these players. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous to me. They should be paid. They bring in a ton of money for these schools, and they can't even, like, fly their parents in for the game because a lot of them are poor.
See that? I'll bribe you. I'll go. I'll fly your parents in. It's crazy. I'll buy you two plane tickets on Southwest.
So for the vig, it's a for a $1.10 wager. The better can win $1. So they get the 10 cents. Yeah. That's where I got the 10% from.
Sid says bookies don't get a vig. They take your money when you lose and pay you when you win. So they just pay you when you win. Now, is the state of New Jersey going to operate like that, or is Pennsylvania going to operate like that? Oh, you won. Oh, good. Good for you. We're happy for you. Go ahead. Take your winnings and go. Go enjoy it. Or are they going to take a tax on those winnings is my question. That's my question.
Yeah. In Nevada, they tax 6.75%.
Well, Phil Murphy, that's a starting point for him. Yes. Are you kidding me? That doesn't even get you in the door with Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey. That doesn't even begin the conversation.
We're back with the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court heard arguments on the Philly soda tax. Yes, fantastic. The question, according to Philly.com, Laura McChrystal, is Philadelphia's tax on soda and other sweetened beverages a sneaky attempt to evade state law, or is it a levy that the city has the authority to impose so that it can care for its residents, the children? Those are among the questions raised as the high court must now determine whether the 1.5 cent per ounce levy on the distribution on the sweetened beverages amounts to double taxation. There is a state law in Pennsylvania known as the Sterling Act, which allows Philadelphia to impose taxes on items not already taxed by the state. But the beverage tax is levied on distributors, but its opponents argue that it has been passed on to consumers who already pay the sales tax. Of course it's passed on to consumers. Every tax is passed on to consumers. Nobody pays taxes but the people that buy the products, period. Because if nobody's buying the products, you're not selling the products. There's no tax to be paid. You understand that? I know you do. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the general you. So then if I'm taxing something and I go, oh no, I'm not really taxing you, I'm taxing the distributor. The distributor's just going to suck it up and just eat that? Or is he going to pass it on to me? He passes it on to me. This is what Democrats don't understand. Well, I shouldn't say all Democrats, but I should say Mayor Kenny doesn't understand this. This tax unlawfully duplicates the state sales tax, said Mark Sonnenfeld, a lawyer representing a group of local businesses, consumers, and trade associations. The American Beverage Association and other groups have poured millions of dollars into fighting this. Mark Aronchik, a lawyer representing the city, argued that the tax follows the purpose of the Sterling Act as it was intended when passed in 1932. Don't you love these 1932 laws that they point to? He says it was put in place so Philadelphia could save itself and so it could take care of itself and its own tax base, he told the justices on the Supreme Court. And six justices spent about an hour listening to arguments from both sides and asking questions. Justice Kevin M. Daugherty recused himself from the case. If this is upheld, Justice David N. Weck said, there's no principal stopping point for levying taxes on the distribution of any or all products in the city. The answer from the city's attorney was, that line is going to be politics. Politicians don't get up every morning saying, hey, what can I tax? Please, sir. Please, sir, do not insult my intelligence with that. Hang on. Oh, wait, what happened? Oh, you know what happened? My stupid thing. I pulled the plug out. Yeah, hang on. I was going to do a sound effect.
You were rolling there, and then all of a sudden.
You can't blame a tornado warning. No, you could just say that. The tornado.
Oh, if you missed that, we podcast it for you.
Yes.
We're in the middle of a great segment, and then all of a sudden there was a dumb tornado warning. So we podcast that for you. You can go watch it. Oh, you know what I was going to play? I was going to play that. Oh, this one. Ready? Okay. This is the attorney. He goes, politicians don't wake up every morning and say, what can I tax?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Sorry. We haven't used that one in a while.
I love that one.
I do love that one, too. By the way, there are politicians who wake up in the morning and think that. They're called Democrats, and they're elected in Philadelphia and New Jersey, and they do literally wake up. Like Phil Murphy in New Jersey, the governor, starts his day like this. He wakes up, he does some push-ups, yoga, meditation, and then he wakes up and he goes like this. He goes, what can I tax today, New Jersey? New Jersey, what can I tax today? What about I not tax that? Now, New Jersey! New Jersey. And I think Jim Kenney probably also starts his day like that, although his is a little bit less enthusiastic.
Oh, he's
But he's thinking about it. Oh, for sure. New Jersey! I haven't. What's left? What's left? Let Uncle Phil get his chompers on it, huh? The city officials have spent some time arguing that the money goes to pre-K community schools and an initiative to improve parks, libraries, and rec centers. This tax is a major accomplishment for the administration, the city's lawyers said. They've taken care of all sorts of needs that Philadelphia has for the children. This tax has withstood legal challenges to date. The beverage tax went into effect at the start of 2017. It has raised more than $96 million, including nearly $18 million so far this calendar year, according to data provided. Now, just a few moments ago in the hallway, before the drive at 5, so you know how the show operates. I'll give you a little bit of behind the scenes here. When the break happens, and I know that we're going to do the drive at 5, which is a half hour of nonstop talk, one of the things you'll only find on this program, I go out in the hallway to clear my head for a minute, and Dawn runs out of her newsroom and says, "Do you have any sodas?"
True. It's true.
Because I bring in my Jersey trunk soda. Hot Jersey trunk soda.
Delicious.
I basically bring in black market soda is what I do, and I hand it to all my Pennsylvania friends, like Greg, like Dawn. Well, Philadelphia, so for Dawn, and Greg just mooches off it. But the point here is that there will always be another way, is my point. We will see how this case rules.
I printed you a graphic of how the funds are spent.
You know, I don't frustrate me. I don't need to hear how.
No, it's... But $56 million goes towards... But what's the part? So $26 million is a percentage that goes toward the pension system.
For the children.
No, that's not for the children.
Well, someday there'll be children. I mean, the children will someday need pensions.
The majority goes to the pre-K, but there's a big chunk that goes back to paying back other stuff.
Well, it's double taxation from my view, because you're already paying a state tax on it, so now you're paying a second tax on it. So... Anyway, we will monitor that for you as the when the Supreme Court rules, which will probably be months from now, I would imagine.
But what's the politics of the state Supreme Court?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's...
I know the politics of the universe, though. There's no borders. Do you know that? This is fascinating to me. The View continues to just weaken the minds of America every day. There's a guy named Terrence Howard. He's an actor. He's a quite good actor, I would say, in a couple of movies he did over the years. Terrence Howard, I believe, was in Iron Man, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
I think he's a Philly guy, too.
Now Iron Woman, the new movie that's coming out. Well, he goes on to The View, and he discusses a number of different things. And I would like to remind you that if you are feeling like your brain is not mush just yet, take a listen to this, because they're going to discuss immigration and borders and that sort of thing. All right. Tony Laren was on this. And then they just mentioned Tomi Lahren, I guess. They just threw her name out there. And then, here, take a listen.
So here's my question for you, because we were talking about immigration before on the panel. And I'm a child of Italian-American grandparents who were, my mother was born here, but my father was born in Italy. And I went to all city schools, got free education pretty much. And I think that I'm a good example of immigration.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, my parents, I mean, I'm 62% West African, 37% Western European. I'm not sure all the Western European that's in me was by choice, but my family, you know, all of America is made up of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And to the universe, there are no borders. It's just mankind that has placed these borders. And we have to remember the American Indians allowed Europeans to come in, and they fed them.
Wait. The universe, there are no borders?
No borders.
Really?
Nope.
Okay. That's good to know in case the real aliens ever come down. You know what I mean? Those aliens... There's no borders, so when Mars attacks, we're going to all be dead, because there's really no borders here to keep them out. The universe, there are no borders. True, but there are asteroids. I'm just saying. You ever try to get through an asteroid field? Not easy.
What a dope.
Not easy. Did they lecture him for saying Indian Americans?
No.
Isn't that racist?
I think he was trying to say the right thing, and you know, the terms have changed so much. Because now you're supposed to say indigenous peoples.
Yeah, indigenous peoples.
You're not even allowed to say Native Americans anymore.
They should have escorted him off the set.
Do you think,
you racist jerk, you?
Do you think Terrence Howard has gates in his mansion?
No, definitely not.
He's a rich celebrity, right? So I'm sure
I have a question. Do you think The View requires a ticket to come in?
Definitely.
Do they have a border system whereby you have to be allowed in to watch their dumb show during the taping?
Yes.
Like the trained SEALs who were all in the audience clapping?
Woo!
Do they just walk in?
Nope.
Can I just walk in?
There's definitely security.
You mean there's a border, in other words, a doorway which you have to be allowed to walk through. But the universe doesn't have doors.
All of America is made up of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And to the universe, there are no borders.
Right.
It's just mankind that has placed these borders.
Mankind? You sexist bastard, you. Mankind?
And we have to remember
school him on that.
And we have to remember the American Indians allowed Europeans to come in, and they fed them and they looked after them because they were there.
I thought they killed them. They all killed each other.
They showed up, so it's not like they had a choice. The pilgrims just like showed up, but then they did show them hospitality, like the Algonquin people did.
What the hell are you talking about?
Okay, I'll just shut up. I'm in the midst of fifth and eighth grade history class.
People,
the Algonquins.
Just mock the View and don't say Algonquin history. What
is
happening here right now? How does the show go off the rails like this every now and then?
Fifth grade, social studies. Sorry.
You should write Terrence Howard a letter about the good Algonquin people.
Yes. They did not invite them.
No.
There's no
definitely
invitation.
Not. And the Algonquins are still ticked off about it, as I understand
they
it.
They are.
We're back with the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know what's fascinating, though, is that you have these crazy Supreme Court decisions and lower court decisions, and in California, for example, they are basically eliminating Second Amendment rights. Yes. Two new federal court decisions. I'll tell you, this is the truth here. This is why I tell you the federal courts matter so much, not just the Supreme Court. Listen, when I say these things, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just joking around here. I'm not exaggerating. You think the Supreme Court makes all the action. It doesn't. And so Trump's nominees on these lower courts matters. The president's nominees on these lower courts matters a lot. Two new federal court decisions highlight a harsh new reality. This is from my friends at Reason.com, my favorite libertarian site. California has effectively repealed the Second Amendment inside its borders. I want you to think about this from the perspective of gambling, right? States' rights and gambling. Yesterday, the Supreme Court handed a major win to the states. Also a big win for Chris Christie and his legacy. I mean, truly, this is going to be for Chris Christie, who I think leaves office unpopular and for the most part, in many ways, people think he was a disaster in so many areas. But this is a big win for him after he leaves office, and he will get the big asterisk for this in his book, whatever that means anyway, for fighting for the case to have legalized sports betting. But anyway, the point of this is states cannot be commandeered by the federal government. So the federal government cannot tell states what they can and can't do. But my question has always been this. How does a state get away with limiting your fundamental constitutional rights? It is a question that has long perplexed me because I understand the Bill of Rights were not written for the states at the original time of the passage. I get that. They were written as a protection against the federal government. But then we have the 14th Amendment, which I think most people would agree extended the Bill of Rights to the states, at least from the perspective of how the courts have interpreted them, except when it comes to guns. I mean, except when it comes to guns, then the states seem to be able to just effectively get rid of this constitutional right. It's amazing. And so while the federal government is not allowed to take away guns, the states can, I guess. But here's the question, though. Could a state take away your right to protest? Could a state ban abortion? And abortion's not even in the Constitution. You know the answer to this, right? I mean, I'm asking you what's called a rhetorical question. Could a state take away your right right to have a warrant, for example? I mean, could the state of New Jersey or the state of California turn around and say, yeah, in our state, we're just going to go with whatever the cops say, so no warrants for you. And don't worry about search and seizure. It's not really our thing here. We just don't like it. Because that's what they're doing with guns in California. And this federal judge, appointed by Barack Obama, he wrote, even an outright ban on certain types of semi-automatic weapons does not substantially burden the Second Amendment right. He says that California gun owners, even if AR-15s and others were outlawed, Californians would be left with a myriad options of self-defense, including the handgun, the quintessential self-defense weapon per Heller. Heller is the landmark Supreme Court case, DC v. Heller, which dealt with handguns. The second unsuccessful Second Amendment case, also brought by the NRA state affiliate, sought to protect Californians' right to carry firearms for self-defense. A federal judge in Los Angeles tossed that case on Monday, saying the California legislature reasonably saw a link between restrictions on carrying firearms and public safety. Now, could I then turn around and say that I've seen a reasonable link? I mean, could a state say we've seen a reasonable link between protests and public safety? And point to these large gatherings of crowds and say, we believe it's an individual right, not a group right. And so for that perspective, you're not allowed to gather in groups and protest. You can protest, but you have to do it on Twitter or Facebook, or you have to do it by writing a letter to the editor. But you can't go out in public and do it because it's a public safety issue. I mean, you could have a crowd that steps over people. You could have a crowd that stops the flow of traffic. You could have a crowd that winds up, you know, and also the protesters could get injured. You know what I mean? The protesters could get injured. What happens if I'm driving and you step in my way in your protest and I decide to run you over? Well, for the good of the protesters, we should protect them and not allow them to be on the streets and protest for the good of public safety. How would that go over, in other words? How would the courts rule on that, you think? Do you think the courts would say that's okay? Do you think a federal judge would say that's okay for a state to do? This is why the federal judiciary matters, and not just the Supreme Court, because these are the cases that get decided and may never be heard by the Supreme Court, but they become precedent that then are that precedent, which is then applied by other states. So when there's a similar law passed here, then another federal judge will use that as precedent to say, oh, yeah, no, banning a right to carry is not an... well, not an unreasonable burden on your Second Amendment right. In theory, after the Supreme Court's Heller decision in 2008, the Second Amendment was supposed to mean something. It was supposed to protect a core fundamental right as important as the freedom to speak or worship. Just as the First Amendment was the uniform law of the land across the nation, the theory went, the Second Amendment would be as well. But alas, according to Declan McCullough at Reason, that was not the political reality. California judges, these are federal judges, though, especially in cities like San Francisco and L.A., have creatively interpreted the Heller decision into a constitutional near nullity. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit has upheld those decisions, and the U.S. Supreme Court has abdicated its responsibility by letting the lower courts get away with it. Let me pause that for a second. Today, the president of the United States nominated another judge to the Ninth Circuit. I'll give you a little bit of insight into who that person is tomorrow. And the president has nominated more people today for these lower federal courts. I have said before, and I'll say it again, the reason why they hate Donald Trump and they want to get rid of him and they're so rabid about it is not because of Twitter and not because of all the other things. It's because of this, because of what's happening here with the courts, because this is how you redefine a country. This is actually how you transform a country, either away from being a constitutional republic or being a constitutional republic. This is how you do it. Unfortunately, because legislatures don't do their job. And when the wacky ones do it, the best you can do is then hopefully have a federal judge who comes along and says, no, because you're taking away a protected right, a constitutional right. Can't do that. Heller has said this is an individual right to carry arms, to bear arms. Therefore, your state cannot unreasonably restrict that right. Justice Clarence Thomas, writing in a dissent on another case, wrote, If a lower court treated another right so cavalierly, I have little doubt that this court would intervene. That was after the court declined to hear a case called Sylvester v. Harris, which was the ninth, and again, the nutty Ninth Circuit, upheld another California anti-gun measure. Thomas wrote, but as evidenced by our continued inaction in this area, the Second Amendment is a disavowed right in this court. The right to keep and bear arms is apparently this court's constitutional orphan. Justice Neil Gorsuch joined Thomas in a separate dissent last year that made a similar point. Because the court didn't hear the case, is my point. So that's when I say to you, it's not just about the Supreme Court. Everything goes about the Supreme Court. So we all look at that and we go, oh, well, look, you know, we got this great justice. Yes, but the lower courts, 64,000 cases a year, and these become the landmark cases. But again, imagine, just imagine any other right where the state could so restrict it in that way. Really, imagine that. State comes out and says, for public safety, we don't believe anybody should gather in mass to protest. And we're not going to allow more than five people in any one capacity to protest something. Large crowds become a burden on public safety and a burden on the protesters, and we can't keep you safe. And so that's it. We're not going to allow it anymore. You would have the ACLU screaming, rightly so, by the way. I'd be screaming. Civil libertarians would be screaming. Reason.com would be screaming. National Review would be screaming. But that's the point, right? Every other right in the Constitution, when it's attacked in the Bill of Rights, you hear all these groups jump up and down. When the Second Amendment is restricted by people, you hear these other groups, it's crickets. They don't say a word. They don't say a damn word. I mean, we do. Reason does. National Review does. Where's the ACLU on this? Or are they going to cop out again and say, well, you have the NRA, so we don't have to worry about it? The California Rifle and Pistol Association had also filed another lawsuit. Maybe I'll get in on this tomorrow. But the bottom line is this. When I tell you that President Trump is doing a great job by appointing these originalist judges, and I don't know if a lot of times that matters to anybody, but it should, because as you have two Supreme Court justices frustrated that the United States Supreme Court will not intervene after a lower court has limited your constitutional freedom. They know that that's the law of the land, unless the Supreme Court comes in and overturns it. And what I'm telling you is, when the president's appointing these justices, these judges on lower courts, thank God for that, because otherwise you will never see the kind of freedom in this country that we enjoy now. And I want to see a whole lot more freedom restored.
We're back with the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The media and their shameful trying to tie the president to the bloodshed on the border between Israel. Daily News, New York Daily News, with a picture of Ivanka Trump. Daddy's little ghoul, G-H-O-U-L. 54 slaughtered in Gaza, but Ivanka all smiles at Jerusalem embassy unveil. Daddy's little ghoul. And I know that you think that it's only lefties like the Daily News who are doing this kind of nonsense, but that fat Steve Schmidt on MSNBC, damn it, sorry, he also did the same thing with his, he's a fake, former Republican, fake phony. But the thing about it is, though, is that there was a lot of bloodshed on the border, and Hamas took advantage of this embassy move yesterday to try and make sure that there was a lot of violence so that the world would see that. This was a coordinated effort by the terrorist group Hamas. Anyway, this is Steve Schmidt on MSNBC.
It's all about Donald Trump being able to score a point, ephemeral though it may be in the news cycle, and to position himself for the midterm elections. It's clear as day that he has no sense of history. He's completely ignorant of the religions and the region. Do you think that he could tell you the origins of the Sunni-Shia schism? I suspect not. He knows nothing about anything. He's bumbling around, and he destabilized with this rash move the Middle East. And as I said, when he announced the move to the embassy, I said there will be blood on his hands, not because he pulled the trigger, but because he destabilized the region with not having any clue about what he was doing. And that goes for Jared Kushner as well.
Now, in addition to Fat Steve Schmidt, the networks also blame the U.S. and Israel for the Gaza violence. Again, no mention of Hamas, no mention of a coordinated effort to show that there was bloodshed to make Israel look bad and the United States look bad. No mention of why would somebody bring a baby and children to the border where you know that there has been bloodshed on this border. This is not the U.S.-Canadian border where you're having a peaceful protest. This is a border along the Gaza Strip where it has had years and years and decades of violence and bloodshed. But let's just blame the U.S. and Israel. Cut three.
the opening of the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, fueling outrage with more protests planned today.
Palestinians have been protesting here against their lack of freedom for weeks. But their fury boiled over on Monday when the U.S. Embassy was officially moved to Jerusalem with President Trump's blessing. The goal of the protests, to show their outrage. Some say they can't take it anymore.
Dozens killed Monday, the deadliest day there in years. A dramatic contrast to what was happening just 40 miles away as the U.S. opened its embassy in Jerusalem.
Here, as in every Palestinian community today, there is shock and sorrow and rage at that decision by President Trump to move the embassy to Jerusalem.
The White House refusing to criticize Israel at all for the violence.
Tens of thousands of Palestinians held angry demonstrations yesterday, furious after the U.S. embassy was moved to Jerusalem. And they are furious over what they say is American bias towards Israel.
We are against the President Trump.
There were more protests planned for today to mark the 70th anniversary of what Palestinians call their day of catastrophe following the founding of the State of Israel.
Well, there you go. It's a little bit of a preview for you. The skies are really getting dark out there. Holy wow. Look at that.
Yeah, it's like a big dark blob moving across the sky.
That's just Matt DeSantis walking in front of us.
Stop.
Matt's actually very skinny. He's like a millennial. Yeah. Look at the river. See how choppy the river is?
Yes.
Hey, if you're going kayaking right now, you may want to cool
idea.
It. Yeah, keep your kayak on the Camden side of the river right now. Oh, looks scary out there.
Riccioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.